Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Sensemaker.
Hi, I'm Nimmo and this is Sensemaker, one story every day to make sense of the world. You've probably heard it before, but I work for Tortoise, a startup newsroom where we do slow, hopefully wise news. We make podcasts like this Sensemaker, bigger investigations like a recent one into the dubious workings of parts of the porn industry, and we hold live events called Think-ins, where you help us decide what news stories we cover. Anyway, if you like the sound of that, and if you're fed up listening to ads, go to tortoisemedia.com/join us and sign up. This August, you can join for just £1 a week, which is 40% off our usual price. Everyone's welcome. On to today's episode: cover-ups, corruption, and sexual violence in India. How a politician tried to get away with rape and murder.
Well, India has been ranked the most dangerous place in the world for women, according to a new poll by the Thomson Reuters Foundation that's ranked India ahead of countries like Afghanistan, Syria, Saudi Arabia and Somalia. The last survey was done in 2000.
3 years ago, India was ranked as the most dangerous country in the world to be a woman. It has a pretty shocking problem with rape. The situation has been called a crisis, a scandal, and that's no exaggeration. In 2018, a woman reported a rape every 15 minutes in India. And when you take into consideration that approximately 90% of rapes and assaults aren't even reported to begin with, the scale of the problem becomes staggering. And things don't look like they're getting much better. In the first half of this year, crimes against women in New Delhi increased by nearly two-thirds, according to data from the police. The same data shows that rape cases alone saw an increase of 43%. But the magnitude of this issue is so overwhelming that even numbers as big as those can lose their meaning. So instead of zooming out, I'm going to focus in on just one story of one man who came to represent India's rape crisis. Kuldeep Singh Sengar was a powerful politician in India's ruling party, the Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP. And Sengar was known to be something of a muscle man. He's been accused of ruling his village with an iron fist, using intimidation and gangster politics to get his way. For a long time, he really did seem untouchable. But in 2017, everything began to fall apart.
The rape accused from UP, the Unnao BJP MLA, is in CBI custody. Kuldeep Singh Sengar, the BJP MLA from Unnao, has been picked up by the CBI.
He was accused of raping a 16-year-old girl. The survivor has remained unnamed. Kuldeep Singh Sengar was prosecuted and sentenced to life in prison for the crime in December 2019. And for a long time, that's where the story of this case ended. But last week, an investigation by British journalist Ramita Navai, alongside local Indian journalists, exposed how some politicians and police officers made continuous efforts to cover up the crime. This case became emblematic, not just of the endemic rape crisis that has gripped India for years, but of the corruption that has protected the perpetrators, especially those in positions of power. So how did this happen?
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasiga. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate, and how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why prearranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
There have been a handful of cases in the last decade that have shone a light on the brutality and scale of the issue of sexual violence in India, and the case against Kuldeep Singh Sengar was one of them. In June 2017, a girl was invited to Sengar's house in Unnao, a city in North India, for a job interview. She said that instead of being interviewed, she was locked in a room and raped. Afterwards, Sengar threatened her father and brother's lives if she reported him. But she reported him anyway. The police, however, seemed to do nothing. In fact, she says she was told to stay silent and stop pursuing the case altogether. The family alleged they were told to compromise because the police said they were afraid they would lose their jobs if they pursued the case. The survivor was treated appallingly. But then things got worse. Her family were targeted. Her uncle was arrested and jailed on trumped-up charges. Her father was attacked by people who he said were led by Sengar's brother. That's the voice of the survivor's father, Surendra, in a police station. He's bruised and bloodied, but he wasn't there to file a report. He was the one who is being arrested for possessing an illegal firearm. He was beaten so badly that he died 3 days later in police custody. In response to her father's death, the survivor went to a senior BJP politician's house and set herself on fire in protest. She'd had enough. And that act of protest propelled her story to the national headlines. Finally, her case began to move forward. And the public pressure forced the government to respond.
The Prime Minister spoke out today saying that the daughters of India will get justice. The Prime Minister addressing a gathering on the eve of...
The case was passed on to federal detectives, and within days, Kuldeep Singh Sengar was arrested, 10 months after the survivor first went to the police. It took another year for the BJP to expel Sengar from the party. The survivor, who's now in her early 20s, lost a lot pursuing this case. Two more members of her family died when a truck crashed into a car she was driving. Her family think it was a planned attack. Sengar did eventually get life for the rape charge, plus 10 years for the murder of her father.
The Delhi court's verdict in the Unnao rape case is out and Kuldeep Singh Sengar has been convicted. That is the breaking news coming in from...
But why did it take so long and cost so much to get justice? Unsurprisingly, there isn't one clear answer. Violence against women in India is a systemic issue. And in India, the more powerful you are, say if you belong to the highest groups of the caste system, the Hindu hierarchy, or if you're in a position of political or economic power, the whole system seems to be at your disposal. But it's not just the elite. Most women know their attackers, and a lot of the time, it's their husband. The understanding of what rape is and who might be guilty of rape is extremely narrow. And the tendency is still to side with the accused, not with the accuser. The survivor of Kuldeep Singh Sengar didn't receive a medical examination till April 2018, almost a year after the attack happened. And whilst the government has tried to improve things with fast-track courts and tougher sentencing, things aren't getting better because enforcement seems to be non-existent. As a nation, India prides itself on its democracy, its soaring economic growth, and its place on the world stage. But there's a growing sense of shame about its track record on sexual violence. The case of Kuldeep Singh Sengar shows why. Today's episode was written by me and produced by Imi Harper.
The Sensemaker.
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasagar. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate? And how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why prearranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.